Every election season, we are reminded how much we want the government to be upon his shoulders.
This isn't about Republicans or Democrats. This is about our sacred right to vote, a right that many voters were sadly deprived of on November 8th. Tens of thousands of you have reached out, pleading with me to fight this fight. Rest assured, I will, because if we give up now, we will no longer have a country.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Pastor Mark Henry sits in for Jan Markell and has a fascinating conversation with Michelle Bachman. They cover more than a dozen cutting-edge topics. Global health passports really are on the horizon. Can we prevent the World Health Organization from overseeing our lives like out-of-control totalitarians? And was there more election fraud in the U.S. midterm election November 8th? This and much more this hour. Here is today's programming.
Glad you can join me today on Understanding the Times Radio. Just a quick heads up here that I have been recovering from a serious battle with COVID and have needed to take a week or two off. Things are looking much better, and thank you for your prayers. My thanks to Pastor Mark Henry, who was sitting in for me for the next week or two. He partners with me at our bi-monthly Understanding the Times meetings here in the Twin Cities and has been on air with me numerous times. I know you will enjoy the programming Pastor Mark has prepared for you. Thank you, Mark. It's all yours.
Are you on the U.S. or the Chinese side? Because now, progressively, a lot of people would like to see there are two orders in this world. This is a huge mistake, even for both the U.S. and China. We need a single global order.
We need a single global order. You heard it right there from the Prime Minister of France. He doesn't want to see America and China, America and Russia. No, a one-world government, something you might read about in the Bible. Well, welcome to Understand the Times. I'm Mark Henry, filling in for Jan Markell. And you know, Jan and others like you, like me, taking the Bible seriously, are often accused of being a little crazy or insane. And yet Jesus says not one jot or tittle of the Word of God will pass away. It's all going to be fulfilled, and we are seeing the Bible fulfilled. I mean, you think about the days in which we are living. We see Israel as a nation. May of 1948, Jewish people coming back, the establishment of Israel. People said that would never, ever happen, that the church had replaced Israel. Yet, ethnic Israel is back in the land, just as God had promised. And the scriptures describe that in the last days, there would be the collapse of nationalism and the promotion of globalism. We're watching that literally unfold. Global leaders everywhere are saying we need a one-world government. And we see it described in the Bible numerous places, Daniel chapter 9, Revelation chapter 13. And so we see the Bible again being truthful, fulfilled in the days in which we live. Well, how do the midterm elections tie to all of this? What happened to the red wave? Why is the U.S. economy being destroyed? Will this lawlessness continue? Well, to help us answer some of those questions, we brought back today Michelle Bachman. We so love her and so appreciate her. She's the Dean of the School of Government at Regent University. She served as a U.S. representative. She's run for President of the United States in 2012, and she's a great friend of the ministry here. Michelle, welcome.
Thank you so much, Pastor Mark. I look forward to our discussion today.
I want to play Tony Perkins. He says something I think that's just so profound about the importance of the elections that all of us have watched and experienced and participated in.
The United States is a deeply divided nation. We've been talking about this. The red states are getting redder and the blue states bluer. Now, I've been actually pointing this out, this same trend in Congress over the last 10 years. After all, Congress, especially the House, is a reflection of the country. Despite what we may want, okay, despite what we may want, there is not much in the way of consensus in America any longer. Now, that doesn't sound good, but it's just the reality. Now, obviously, for most of us who want to get along with others and just live our lives, this presents a problem. Now, this division is not just political. It is ideological. We're seeing that in our classrooms. But at its core, it's also spiritual. It comes with two very different worldviews, which result in public policies that are polar opposites. There was a time when there were just marginal differences between the two major parties when it came to policies, but those days are gone. Again, I know you may not want to hear this, But it is the reality of where we are as a culture and as a nation. Each election is about which worldview that will have the ability to make the laws and policies that govern our families and influence our children.
Each election is about a worldview. You've run for office, you've been in office. Why is this so important for Christians to care about this election?
Because someone in office will hold a particular worldview. They'll hold a biblical worldview, or they'll hold a non-biblical worldview. And the results of their worldview impacts immeasurably how this nation will be run. Because what we believe translates into how we vote and into how we act. It's why it's so important that we know who the people are that we're voting for, what their worldview is, because that worldview will show up in government. The Bible is so clear. When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people moan. What we have to realize is that there's a genuine consequence to who we put into a decision-making position.
And you know, we see that everywhere in the Bible, don't we? Throughout the kings. You had a wicked king by the name of Saul, and his heart was not for God. It was for his own selfish gain, his own benefit, building his own empire. And then you see David afterwards, and you see him, the Holy Spirit describes him as reigning and reigning in righteousness. So that's why the election really does matter. Michelle, what happened to the election and the red wave we were hearing about? Let's listen to Paul Ryan and have you respond to that.
On Friday, I sat down with former Speaker of the House and former vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan for his first Sunday show interview since leaving office. The midterms, I think I saw you had predicted that at least 15 seats, yeah. Republicans would pick up at least 15. What happened?
A couple of factors, but I personally think the evidence is really clear. The biggest factor was the Trump factor. Just look at how Chris Sununu ran ahead of Bullduck in New Hampshire. Look at where Kemp ran ahead of Walker in Georgia. So I think we would have clearly have won the Senate had we had traditional Republicans in the general election, like these governors did. I think we would have won places like Arizona, places like Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, had we had a typical traditional conservative Republican, not a Trump Republican. So I think what we now know, it's pretty clear, is with Trump we lose. So I don't mean this personally, it's just evidence. We lost the House in 18, we lost the presidency in 20, we lost the Senate in 20, and now in 2022, we should have and could have won the Senate, we didn't, and we have a much lower majority in the House because of that Trump factor. So I think it's just palpable right now. We get past Trump, we start winning elections, we stick with Trump, we keep losing elections. That's just how I see it.
So was it Trump's fault?
No, it absolutely wasn't Trump's fault. This was Paul Ryan, an anti-Trumper. This was the false narrative that was put out almost simultaneously with the election results coming in. I was doing election night coverage with David Barton, and it was the strangest election night I've ever seen, because what people need to remember, Pastor Mark, is that the 21 months leading up to this 22 election had every hallmark of a red wave. The voters were begging for change. We had our standard of living and our quality of life tank under the Biden policies. And so the American people wanted a change election. They did not want the status quo. Just days before the election, NBC released a poll that said 81% of the American people thought America was going in the wrong direction. And 68% of the voters who were going to vote on election day said they were planning to vote on the issue of inflation and the economy, meaning they didn't want to have inflation. And then a poll came out the day before the election that said independent suburban women shifted to the Republican Party by a factor of 27 points between August and the election. Other polls said that support for the Republicans doubled from blacks. Hispanic voters leapt toward the GOP. In fact, the morning of the election, Joe Biden had a 28% approval rating. This was teeing up to be the most massive red wave. Even the Democrats were admitting it. They were on TV saying we blew it. We didn't listen to voters. And that's why you knew that the result of this election did not fairly represent the will of the people who went to vote. This was the result that globalists wanted.
If it wasn't Trump's fault, was it about abortion? I mean, we're told over and over, everyone went out. That's what they were really concerned about. Is that true?
That wasn't true, because abortion was polled all through the election, and it never got above a 4-6% issue with the voters, despite Planned Parenthood spending over $415 million on the election. And yet, the day after the election, we were all told to believe it's Donald Trump that cost the Republican Party this election. And it's abortion the reason why voters didn't vote for Republicans. It is an absolute lie. You can look at the statistics, and it was not true. It was almost like a fog of delusion was sprayed across the population, and people were just deluded into believing, oh, I guess we didn't win. I guess everybody's happy with Joe Biden and his policies. The day after the election, Pastor Mark, the president came out and said, well, see, the American people are happy with my economic policies. I'm not going to change anything. Does anyone honestly believe that? That the American people were happy with having their paychecks cut and with their standard of living going down, with jobs being lost, and with prices going up at the grocery stores, at the gas pump, and fuel oil? Nobody believes that. We've got to believe common sense and traditional patterns. And that is not what happened in this election. 2020 was a seminal race. 2022 was an even more powerful election result because it achieved the impossible, which was the status quo in a change election year.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Mark Henry, filling in for Jan Markell. My guest is Michelle Bachmann. Michelle, listen to Carrie Lake here in this clip.
Hi, this is Carrie Lake, and I have a message to the people of Arizona and all Americans. 40 days ago, elections in Arizona officially started when mail-in ballots were sent out across our state. And Maricopa County is still counting ballots. Printer problems, tabulation errors, three-hour-long lines, and even longer. And confusing instructions given by election officials made this election day the most chaotic in Arizona's history. Half of voting centers that opened for the first time on election day, where the overwhelming majority of voters were voting for Carrie Lake, were not operational or had significant failures. Would you get on an airplane if half of the engines didn't work? Would our friends in the media be able to broadcast their nightly propaganda if only half of their studio equipment was working? The 2022 general election in Arizona was botched and broken beyond repair. Thankfully, the Attorney General's office is demanding answers from Maricopa County. Attorney General Mark Brnovich is taking the first steps necessary to remedy this assault on our democracy. This isn't about Republicans or Democrats. This is about our sacred right to vote, a right that many voters were sadly deprived of on November 8th. Tens of thousands of you have reached out, pleading with me to fight this fight. Rest assured, I will, because if we give up now, we will no longer have a country.
Michelle, is that accurate? You're trained as a lawyer, and there's a lot of people running around saying there's so much information. How in the world can we figure out the truth?
Carrie Lake was one of the most wildly popular candidates in this election cycle. Her opponent was the Secretary of State in Arizona, Katie Hobbs. Katie Hobbs didn't even bother to show up for any of the debates in the election cycle. That was true of a lot of Democrats this year. The other thing that was strange is that Democrats didn't talk about what was on voters' minds. People had inflation on their minds. They were worried about their kids in school and critical race theory and all the pornography that was being thrown at their kids. The Democrats didn't even talk about that. As a matter of fact, at the very end of the election cycle, Joe Biden was criticizing half of the American public, screaming at Trump Republicans, saying that they were violent terrorists. Can you imagine? The president is screaming at half of the voters in the United States, and the closing argument of Democrats is the strangest I've ever seen. They said, vote for Democrats or democracy will die. That message would motivate no one, and yet you look at the election results and you look at Carrie Lake and the fact that these machines didn't work. You go from state to state with all the problems there were, and yet people are told you can't question the election results. We have to assume everything was 100% accurate. And so people have every right in the face of common sense to say, hey, wait a minute. I looked at 2020. And I kept my mouth shut afterwards with those election results because we were told we weren't allowed to say anything. And now in 2022, These results are even more suspect, and we're supposed to be quiet again and look at the result. The result is status quo. Nothing changed when the fog cleared. That is not how the American people were feeling on Election Day. People have every right to feel that something wasn't right in their state, and they'll have to figure out what it is. Part of it is George Soros's money. He has a system called ERIC, where votes are banked, where parties can go to patch votes that they could use later. There's also the scandal that's being reported now from a cryptocurrency company called FTX. They were the second largest donor to the Democrat Party. And the donor in that case, money had been funneled from Ukraine to him. That money then was given to Democrat politicians and some Republican politicians in the United States. And weirdly, the day after the election, this cryptocurrency company files a $32 billion bankruptcy. This is a scandal, 200 times worse than Bernie Madoff. And how many of our listeners have even heard of FTX? So a massive amount of money was spent, $16.7 billion. And we're supposed to just accept that everything was kosher, and somehow we got a result that belies all intelligent thinking and common sense.
And that's the key right there. You know, when they say democracy is on the edge of collapsing here, when these things start coming out, it does sound like it's collapsing. This is a scary time. What happened in Pennsylvania with Fetterman?
That's impossible to believe, too, because even the Democrats put bags over their heads afterwards. They couldn't believe it after the debate with Fetterman. He was obviously impaired, and he showed it during the night of the debate against his opponent, Dr. Oz. Democrats were ready to run away from him and abandon the state. Instead, Democrats sent in Oprah Winfrey and President Obama. You don't send in your two biggest guns only to see a candidate fail. So here Fetterman was. He never had a job in his life. He lived off of his parents. He was a failed mayor in a town that went in a disastrous direction. He runs for the Senate, and somehow he's winning over Dr. Oz. Again, absolutely impossible. His election was called. We were told it would take weeks to get the election results in Pennsylvania. Fetterman, on the day of the election, said, well, you'll see the results go Republican, and then all of a sudden everything will change, and you'll see the Democrats winning. Well, how did he know that? Well, before 11 o'clock at night, when 90% of the vote was in, the major networks all called the race for Fetterman. Absolutely an impossible outcome. So you have the worst candidate running this election cycle, John Fetterman, and he's the next senator of Pennsylvania. Then you look at the governor's race in Arizona, the most popular candidate of the entire cycle, Carrie Lake. And she loses to the missing in action Katie Hobbs. Absolute failure as a Secretary of State. No one should think that they have to repeat the lie Paul Ryan said, which is Trump caused this. Really, how many people went into the voting booth on Election Day thinking about Donald Trump? Hey, I'm going to vote for a Democrat because I really don't like Donald Trump. This is how far out these election results are. And yet, it's like a fog happened and nobody is saying anything. I think in part, Pastor Mark, it's because the Republican leadership who should be kicking and shouting from the rooftops, instead, they all went quiet, including Rona McDaniel, the head of the RNC, and they all are running for leadership again. Usually when you lose elections, you hide your face and you resign. Instead, they're all running for re-election. Mitch McConnell is going to go back in running the Senate. Why? Kevin McCarthy is going to go in as Speaker of the House, same leader. Why? Rona McDaniel will go back in and be the next head of the RNC. Why? Something is so off. I have never seen politics like this in my life experience. And that's why people need to know 2020 was a suspect year. 2022 was an even more suspect year.
One thing's for sure, there's always a spiritual influence in the background. And we talked about just a moment ago, the two world views. There's God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. And we know that Satan is the prince and the power of the air. And there's a lot of things going on in the background here, a lot of deception, a lot of wickedness. And that's why we need clear thinkers, godly people like you in our lives. Americans should be thinking you want to have the best people leading us, right? The wisest people leading us. And you look at some of the unfolding here and it's pretty amazing. My grandfather used to always say, when there's a situation that doesn't seem quite right, follow the money.
How much money did you raise? And what do you think about this as a tool for the governments, but also the risks associated with it too?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that gets to the point that this can be a great thing for the world. I think it can also be a really messy thing. But I think that at its core, we've seen millions of dollars go through the systems we've given. I think something close to a million ourselves as well to support humanitarian aid and growth in Ukraine. And I think when you think about what it would take to get funds both to the government there, where we do have a relationship with the Ukrainian government for raising capital for them using cryptocurrencies that runs through FTX, whether it's getting money to the government or whether it's getting money to individuals there in need, there are literally tanks outside of the banks. And this gets to, I think, one of the places where it can be really important to have a fully digital banking system, fully digital way of handling payments. And I think that's an international one. That's the core of what we've been helping to support in Ukraine.
I think it's a healthy conversation to be having away from some of the noise of digital assets and cryptocurrencies yep. themselves, that the work goes on beneath.
Wow, the work goes on underneath it all. We could think about the $84 billion left in Afghanistan. Michelle, how much money has been dumped into the Ukraine, and how does this cryptocurrency manipulate it so that we can't really track it?
Well, you're right. Cryptocurrency is almost impossible to trace. And this is the real question. It looks more and more like Ukraine has actually acted like a global slush fund. In the United States, President Biden has transferred $54 billion of our dollars. That's a significant amount of money to Ukraine. People need to know Ukraine is the poorest country in Europe. It's the most corrupt country. And $54 billion, no one knows what it was spent on. There's no inventory of what our $54 billion went to fight in Ukraine. But here, during the middle of a war with Russia, the head of Ukraine, Zelensky, was somehow able to take tens of billions of dollars and buy cryptocurrency from FTX, the guy that you just heard on this clip. Realize the money went from our pockets to the U.S. Treasury. Then Joe Biden gave $54 billion to Ukraine. Then Ukraine, an extremely poor country, people are starving, leaving the country. They have tens of billions of dollars sitting around to buy cryptocurrency. That cryptocurrency was bought from the Sam Bankman-Fried. And instead, the Sam Bankman-Fried is the second largest donor to the Democrat Party in this election cycle. So he's pouring tens of millions of dollars into Democrat causes, and one of his executives gives money to the Republican Kevin McCarthy and other Republican candidates. This is our money, and it looks like Ukraine was a giant slush fund, and that slush fund where you can't even trace the cryptocurrency where it originates from, that ends up going into the pockets of U.S. politicians. And the Southern District of New York is taking up the investigation, and that's where all investigations go to rot. So in all likelihood, FTX and their collapse of their $32 billion will probably never be fully investigated. This looks to me like both Ukraine and FTX was a slush fund used to advance interests that weren't the American people's interests.
Well, it shocked me when I heard that, because the government has been against crypto. We got to get that under control because people could do things and we can't control it. And now all of a sudden, boy, this is really good, because now we can get money to people who are in really deep need anywhere in the world, and it's untraceable. Something doesn't sound right with that. Michelle, let me ask you this. Is this going to be investigated at all? Is there any way for us as the American people to say, hey, this needs to be investigated? People need to be held accountable for this?
The House of Representatives has a razor-thin majority in the Republican hands with Kevin McCarthy. It's a very slim majority. So I'm sure Kevin McCarthy will be careful with what he does. He's going to investigate Hunter Biden. He's going to throw some radicals off of committees, people like Ilhan Omar. But the really big things are investigating something like this FTX, because this looks like it was U.S. money that was laundered through Ukraine for the purpose of going into the pockets of U.S. politicians. Some of this money went to Kevin McCarthy. So there's a question. Will he actually do an investigation? They should. They need to do an investigation of FTX. And remember, we've had bad things happen before where the FBI and the CIA were used by a former president to wiretap to impact negatively the campaign of another president. That would be Donald Trump. So is the Obama administration, together with Hillary Clinton, in the phony Russia collusion hoax? Nothing happened to anyone in the Obama administration, and they misused the FBI and the CIA. So if that didn't get investigated with a satisfactory result, I don't know what the likelihood will be of an investigation on FTX. But here you have instrumentalities of our own government being used against the American people for the purpose of impacting an election outcome that's in line with those who control the levers of power in our government. That's as bad as any banana republic out there. In fact, far worse, because we are supposedly the greatest nation on earth with the biggest economy and biggest military, and there's no accountability.
When we come back, Michelle and I are going to be looking at the real threats that this worldview brings against your personal freedoms through the Green Agenda, the global health passport, and medicating anyone that would say this isn't right. All this and more coming up on Understanding the Times Radio.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In the age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries. As 2022 winds down, all of us at Olive Tree Ministries want to thank our loyal listeners, donors, prayer warriors, and all who partner in our activities we have throughout the year. But we began live on air in April 2001 out of Salem Media's Twin City stations. Due to demand, we moved quickly to a two-hour format. By 2004, we began our expansion plan and would end up with almost 900 radio stations and dozens more electronic audiences that reach destinations in dozens of countries. We rarely ask for money, but we are quick to say thank you for covering our extensive radio expense over the 21 years on air, online, on podcast, on video, and on his channel, Christian TV. We wouldn't do this without you, so thank you to each and every one of you as together we make Last Days Watchmen on the wall.
So it's a faith foundation that brings about prosperity. And America is no different. Once we reject the faith of the Bible and the God of the Bible, then God leaves us to our own devices, and we no longer prosper either.
We know you can't always be by a radio, so catch Understanding the Times Radio at your convenience online. Watch the video portion of the program or listen to the audio at olivetreeviews.org, then to radio, on YouTube, on Rumble, on Light Source, on our social media, and on his channel, Christian TV. Again, our thanks to Pastor Mark Henry from Revived Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, for sitting in for Jan Markell this week. Jan will be back in a couple of weeks. Here is the conclusion to today's programming with Michelle Bachman.
So let's have a digital health certificate acknowledged by WHO. If you have been vaccinated or tested properly, then you can move around. So for the next pandemic, instead of stopping the movement of the people 100%, which clogged the economy globally, you can still provide some movement of the people. Indonesia has achieved, G20 country has agreed, to have this digital certificate using WHO standard, and we will submit into the next World Health Assembly in Geneva as the revision to international health regulation. So hopefully for the next pandemic, we can still see some movement of the people, some movement of the goods, and movement of the economy.
Welcome back to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Mark Henry, filling in for Jan Markell. We have with us Michelle Bachmann. She's a beloved guest and helping us sort through some of these things that have happened in the election just recently. We've talked about the worldview and how that affects every election. Which worldview is going to control things? Who's going to lead? How laws, policies are set, and who's going to enforce them? These are all really critical issues in our day. Michelle, you and Jan have been warning us about the World Health Organization and them controlling our health. And now, again, we're hearing from Indonesia, the global health passport. Give us a timeline. Give us how you see this unfolding and the threats involved.
Unfortunately, it looks like this upcoming year in 2023, this will become a reality if the globalists get their way. We had our U.S. election, and just within days of the U.S. election, we had one after another of these major global summits. The clip that you just played was the health minister of Indonesia. He's just glibly saying all of the countries have gotten together and we've made the decision that we're going to get the right amendments passed at the Global World Health Assembly in Geneva, Switzerland. So what that will do is allow the World Health Organization to be globally empowered. So they will set all of the standards for a global vaccine passport that will have both testing and vaccination status on it. And that's what will determine if we're allowed to have international travel or international trade. And he's saying the good thing about it is when the next pandemic comes, not everyone will have to stay home. Those who have the digital passport and who have submitted to the WHO, World Health Organization standards, they'll be able to travel. So there's a couple of premises that are made. Number one, the World Health Organization will be in control of every human being's life and death decisions on Earth. So it will be mandatory, and there won't be any nation that will be able to get out of it. Last week, I was speaking in Washington, D.C., together with Senator Rick Scott of Florida. And I shared this clip with him and his chief of staff to make sure that there are complaints that are registered by our Congress so that our government doesn't do this. Miraculously, we stopped this last year. The question is, will we be able to stop it again? These people internationally, they're very open about what they plan to do. To think that you're going to have a global organization that sets the global standard and it's mandatory and you can't travel without it. So their plan is to get all the rules changed, and then they put the digital passport out. They plan for it, Mark, in 2023.
I'm blown away by that because you think back through history, wars were fought when people tried to press upon the American people, take away their liberties. And it seems as if we're just joyfully going down the road with everyone and letting them make the decisions. Who are the champions? Obviously, you are throwing the red flag up with this. Who are the other people that are out there with you saying, hey, we can't go down this road?
I think there's a lot of people out there who are champions. Steve Bannon on War Room has actually been very good on this. The original researcher who's been tracking this down is a fellow named James Rogowski, and he's put out a lot of information. But once this came up to the surface, I know I was trying to wave a red flag last April about this. People were extremely upset, and it actually got stopped. But these one worlders, once they got this status quo election in America, and after the election in Brazil, where Jair Bolsonaro was not reelected, let me just say this, there are still millions of Brazilians protesting because they believe that the communist who won stole the election, and the people of Brazil aren't having any part of it. If Brazil goes communist, if the election isn't altered, and it doesn't appear that it will be, then all of South America, Latin America, North America will all go along with this one world action. This all happens through the UN, working together with the World Economic Forum, and they're going right down the road to put into place all of their plans. And it looks like 2023 is when they want to put in the digital passport on health, the WHO in charge of global healthcare, and digital currency. That's the other part too, because we're just in the start of a 3-month trial for digital currency with the New York Federal Reserve and major global banks.
To every American, I would just simply say, when they control your money, they control your freedom. When they control your health, they control your freedom. These are all significant things. I'm just blown away that our leaders are so joyfully joining in the process and acquiescing to their direction.
And I would say, Pastor Mark, I don't even know if they're aware of it. I went on the White House government website. This is being portrayed as a good thing. Well, of course, because the globalists are running the White House. So of course they are. I don't even know if President Biden is aware of what's going on with this plan that's coming up. But where are the Republican leaders? Where's Mitch McConnell? Where's the Republican senators? Where's Kevin McCarthy? Where is the Republican House of Representatives? They need to defund this. I guarantee their constituents don't want the World Health Organization mandating digital passports. And I guarantee their constituents aren't looking for digital currency either. So they need to say something fast. That's why I told Senator Scott, we've got to do something about this. He was tweeting about this last year. He was one of the most vocal in the U.S. Senate. They can't take this sitting down because these are not normal times.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Mark Henry, filling in for Jan Markell. Today, our guest is Michelle Bachmann, and we're analyzing some of the things that are happening on the world scene with the election and the implications going into 2023, things that are going to affect your personal liberties, your freedom. These things really matter. Historically, when people pushed back against the government or they had a different idea, it created a level of tension. Praise God, here in America, we used the courts. We've been able to sort through things. We haven't seen lots of civil wars like we see in other parts of the world. But now there's a new push, and the push is simply this. If you don't buy into what's happening, you need to be medicated.
So this has come out recently out of the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario. The college sent out a letter or a memo to all the doctors in Ontario suggesting to them, now so far they're not mandating it, they're just suggesting it, that any of their unvaccinated patients, that they should consider that they have a mental problem and that they should be put on psychiatric medication. So far, it's just a suggestion, but the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario should not be making these kinds of suggestions. This is extremely unethical, and this is a very, very slippery slope. If they're suggesting that people who wish to have bodily autonomy and don't want an experimental vaccine, that there may be something mentally wrong with them, that is a very, very dangerous slippery slope that we're on.
There's something mentally wrong with you if you don't buy in, and so we're going to medicate you. Is that right?
It's bizarre. This is in Ontario, Canada, and this letter actually went out. This isn't a hoax. And so this shows the direction that things are going. So there's an expectation that there will be more big pandemics that are coming. Just think, in our lifetime, we've never experienced anything like the COVID-19 response to a pandemic where 2 years of our economy was trashed and put on hold. You'd have to go back 100 years to the Spanish flu to see America dealing with a pandemic. And yet, all of these one-worlders seem to be planning for the next pandemic, including Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates. And here you have the Ontario physicians suggesting that doctors should automatically assume that unvaxxed patients are mentally ill and should be prescribed psychotropic drugs. This is criminal, unethical, malpractice. And it sounds like a dystopian novel.
The idea that if you disagree, we're going to medicate you. I was reflecting on that this week, and I'm sitting there thinking, so what they really want is to make a society of drug addicts. Is that correct?
And also of political prisoners. That's really what it is. This is something that the Soviet Union, Communist China, or even the Nazis employed. They would medicate their enemies and use psychotropic drugs in cruel experiments to control them. This is really done by the controllers to oppress their enemies, to bring them into submission. And so to even have something like this suggested, this should be a violation of the Nuremberg Conventions. And that's why, again, we have to raise our voices. What happened, I believe, in these last two election cycles here in America is we're losing our voices. We're losing our choices. We're losing our freedoms. And so the one thing that we can't do is be intimidated into silence. That's what the media is trying to do to all of us. We're not supposed to say something or we'll get thrown off Twitter. Well, too bad. We need to not lose our voice because doctors potentially could label someone as mentally ill and prescribe a psychotropic drug because the patient exercises individual choice and bodily autonomy and doesn't want to receive the medicine that a doctor forces. Since when do we mandate we have to inject poison into our bodies? This is the level of where we're going, and we cannot be silent in the face of this evil.
We've seen this historically in other places of the world, but never here in America, and our own officials mindlessly embracing it, joyfully embracing these things. It's hard to believe. You know, as you read through the scriptures, you come to Exodus chapter 20 and you find the Ten Commandments. And one of those commandments is you shall not steal. And I think probably all of us at some point have taken something that wasn't ours. And all of us have had the experience where somebody's taken something from us. And we understand that. But government is so important that when its strength is used, God made it to be a powerful influence. There's three great things God's created for human society, the family, the church, and government. But when government is used in an evil way, it uses its force in a way that is destructive for those it's supposed to be protecting. Socialism is one of those things. Socialism steals from one and determines, those officials determine, where it goes. There's been a slush fund that's been created. Listen to this.
A climate deal that looked like a long shot a day ago.
Look forward to good news.
Now seems within reach, or at least part of it. For the first time, there was agreement to create a loss and damage fund, which would cover climate change damages incurred by poorer countries such as those in Africa, devastated by drought and famine.
We need to stop when disasters happen. We need to stop clearly just sending thoughts and prayers to people facing devastation. And this is one way that actually signals that this process is listening to those folks all over the world.
But key questions remain unanswered. Which countries and industries will pay for it, and how much? Those details will be decided over the next year.
So which countries are going to pay for this, Michelle?
Obviously, it'll be the United States. It'll be the United Kingdom. This happened for the first time in 30 years. This climate change is the pretext for putting the world into a one-world government. And the agitators have been pushing for 30 years to get redistribution of wealth, reparations. They want the United States, the United Kingdom, maybe some other countries to have to pay all the other countries of the world for the industrialization that we've built up. We produce most of the goods in the world. Historically, we have. We've had the greatest progress, the greatest innovation. We've created all the medical miracles the world has benefited from. And yet, this is a punishment for the United States and the United Kingdom and other designated countries that we will have to, in the future, pay into this loss fund. By the way, Joe Biden is on board with this. This would pay into a fund that nonprofit organizations would beg for money. This is a redistribution out of our listeners' pockets. And the money would go into liberal organizations who are seeking the destruction of the United States and who seek to destroy the economies of the world, so we'll collapse and go into a one-world government. It's just one more access point for the United States to become completely bankrupt. What the listeners need to know is that the United States economically is propped up because we've been a strong nation historically. We don't have money sitting in the bank. We have a lot of IOUs. We're the greatest debtor nation in the world. We don't have the assets to draw from. To expect the United States to now start supporting all the other countries on earth, it's a joke. We don't have those resources to do it. And so this is another avenue to bring about economic collapse into the United States. As well, you had talked about the World Health Organization and the digital passport for global health. They are also demanding that we pay $10 billion annually to the World Health Organization for new pandemic-type insurance. They're also demanding that there is socialized medicine globally, so we would be expected to redistribute wealth so we pay for the healthcare of the world. We're a nation of over 300 million people. The world is 8 billion people. There isn't enough resources in the United States to pay for 8 billion people.
You know what's amazing to me, and we see this coming at so many different angles, that America's an evil place because of our prosperity and we have this place of privilege. And it blows me away when Christians say that, because if we have a blessing in our life, if we have a privilege in our life, we recognize that comes from God. But as you look back through history, worldview matters, a Judeo-Christian worldview. I've traveled around the world. I've seen what other worldviews create in India, throughout Asia, throughout Africa. Listen, the Christian worldview is what God blessed here in the United States. That's why we have progress in medicine, economics. There's a thing called the Protestant work ethic that the Puritans employed. It's found in Colossians chapter 3. It says, let all your work be done heartily as unto the Lord. That's the reason the American workforce has different than everywhere else in the world. Now, the pandemic has changed that. This almost pre-Christian world that we live here now in America, all of that is shifting. But it's interesting to me, Michelle, that America is penalized for having a Christian worldview that God could bless.
Amen. That's because the ultimate effort is to see our economy and other Western nations' economies collapse, because the UN, the World Economic Forum, COP27, the climate summit that just met, the G20, the B20, this Asian Pacific Economic Cooperative, they all have the same end goal. Their end goal is that there is global governance, and that all of our lives are mandated and controlled by the tiny little elite that will run it. We talked about this for decades, that this was coming. Now we're actually seeing not just the building blocks, but they're executing on this in 2023. And that's why we can't be silent right now. But Mark, you're exactly right. This is about world view. If you study nations across the world, the faith that that nation holds will define whether that nation prospers and sees blessing, or where that nation doesn't prosper or experiences cursing. It comes all down to faith and the faith of that nation. And the scripture is clear. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. When America has revered the Lord, and certainly not everyone does, but when as a nation we have revered the Bible and the things of the Lord, we have blessed beyond any other nation. And President Abraham Lincoln said it very well. He said, we fool ourselves if we think that it's our own hands that gained this wealth for us. This was our allegiance to the things of God, and then God prospering us. So it's a faith foundation that brings about prosperity. And America is no different. Once we reject the faith of the Bible and the God of the Bible, then God leaves us to our own devices, and we no longer prosper either.
And then, you know, the last days, as you read through the scriptures, is constantly talking about the blasphemy and the rejection of God and the worship of creation. Michelle, I want you to respond to COP27. Let's listen to this.
As in previous years, this fall's United Nations Climate Change Conference will focus on developing policies, social momentum, and political action aimed at combating climate change. COP27, however, is also taking a strange turn toward the spiritual. Over the weekend of November 12th through 13th, few official discussions or activities are planned at COP27. This provides a major moment when the attention of media and participants can be turned to interreligious climate messaging and a transformative vision. On Sunday, November 13th, religious leaders will return to Mount Sinai, a mountain whose memory and meaning loom large as a place of revelation in the collective consciousness of Christianity, Judaism, Islam, and others. It is a site for turning to God and receiving God's message.
The Bible describes there that the law of God was given to Moses, the moral law of God. That's one of the key elements of a worldview. How you got here, that's creation, and then meaning and purpose, and then morality. Where does morality come from? Well, the Ten Commandments, and then, of course, destiny. And so it's one of those key places in our Christian faith. The morality of God, the decisions of right and wrong are found and summed up in those Ten Commandments. And here now, COP27, we find world leaders going to Mount Sinai. This is an act of blasphemy. Michelle, tell us what you've gleaned on this whole subject.
This is absolutely shocking. This was the climate change conference that President Biden went to attend 2 days after the American election in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt. This is connected to the Sinai area, and there's a historical site in Sinai called Mount Sinai. Whether it actually was the actual Mount Sinai or not is controversial. But 100 supposedly interfaith leaders climbed up Mount Sinai. This was totally blasphemed. They climbed up to receive 10 commandments. And it wasn't a recreation of Moses receiving the 10 commandments from God. These were the 10 commandments of climate change. Their message is that every world religion can keep their religion, but they need to make sure they all observe these 10 commandments of climate change. This was rolling out the one world religion that, again, the Bible talks about. Now, just look at this, what we've been talking about this hour, these extremely bizarre American electoral results. But the big action occurred halfway across the world at these huge climate summits and the G20, these one world confabs, where we're talking about one world government, one world religion. That's what the COP27 was this year. Global reparations, but it was primarily the one world religion that got rolled out. This is all coming at the same exact time, exactly when an announcement was made that there'll be a 3-month trial for digital currency together with the New York Fed. And then we're told in 23, we'll see this executed. This is the time for pastors to wake up and speak to their congregations. This isn't about being political. We haven't been political during this hour, Mark. We've been biblical. We're talking about the natural evidences in our world that point to directly what Daniel and John in Revelation and all of the books that speak prophetically about this time. We live in the greatest time in history, the days that the prophets long to see. All we're talking about, Pastor Mark, is the actual evidence that tie into Scripture to show how true the Bible is and what the believer needs to do. It is the time when people need to come to Jesus Christ to receive him as Lord, because redemption is drawing nigh. We need to not despair, but say, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. And we also speak out in these days because we don't want to participate in the works of evil. So it's right for us to speak out to our congressmen and to ask that our pastor is preaching on these things so that we as congregations know how to respond during these evil days.
The deception is great and it's really true. We're going to be pushed more and more in our society to embrace these Ten Commandments and abandon, if anything, the Ten Commandments that we receive from God, or at least syncretism, if nothing else, to merge these things together. And that is never pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, next week, we'll be reflecting in depth on COP27 and those Ten Commandments of worshiping creation. Pastor Tom Hughes is going to be with us and Alex Newman helping us sort through all of that. So we want to encourage you to participate with that next week. Michelle, thank you so much for coming and sharing today. We live in complex times, and you're always so helpful. You're always a gift from God to help us see through the murky times. We're grateful for you.
Thank you so much.
Well, friends, I want you to remember the words of Jesus. Jesus said, do not be shocked, in John 15. Just as he was with his disciples and ready to leave, he says to them, you can't be shocked. The world hates me. The world is going to hate you. And then he tells them why the world is going to hate them. Because they are not of the world, that they have been chosen out of the world. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, you've been chosen out of the world. Be not surprised that these days are going to be filled with some tension. Secondly, Jesus says in that same upper room discourse, he says, do not be afraid. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he makes a promise. I go to prepare a place for you. So don't be shocked. Don't be afraid. Remember that he has a place for you. You know, we love America, but we are first and foremost citizens of heaven, ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here on temporary assignment. Jesus has a place for us. And then he says, in John 14, he says, and I will come again and receive you to myself. My question to you is simply this. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know him? If you do, you've got a place in heaven and Jesus is coming for us. But friends, listen, days are coming, difficult days. Jesus says, the days are going to be so bad that if he didn't reduce them to 7 years, all life on earth would be killed. It's that important that you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him. You know, today we see the blasphemy all around us. We see it in school boards when we talk about morality. Recently, I was at a school board meeting and someone stood up. In fact, numerous ones stood up and said, God has no place here in the school. Well, if you read your Bibles, Jesus created all things. Everything is for him and for his glory and for his honor. And for someone to say that, it's blasphemous. And I just want you to remember this, that there's a promise in the Bible that God makes. He says that because of the glory of Jesus Christ, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Friends, I don't know where you're at in your spiritual journey, but what I know is this. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He paid for sins. And if you trust in him, you'll have a relationship with God. Heaven will be yours. Can I just invite you right now to call upon the name of the Lord? I'm going to pray. You pray along with me. Lord Jesus, I confess my sin. I've turned away from you. I've used your name in vain. I've sinned in so many different ways. I hear that you died on the cross to pay for sins. The best I know how, I trust in you right now as my Lord, God, and Savior. I trust in you to pay for my sins. I trust in you to make me right with God. Thank you for forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. My friends, keep looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's faithful, he's coming, and he's coming in the near future. Keep looking up. Join us next week right here on Understanding the Times Radio.
Jesus Redeemer, mighty to save.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. We encourage you to always look up and not around if you are to remain hopeful. Events foretold in the Bible are breaking daily. We can run from reality or recognize that God is allowing these events to take place so that things the Bible foretold will transpire and so everything will fall into place.